Blog Talk Radio.
It's almost time.
You right there with the pretzel. Time to sit down.
Cruise, man.
Yeah.
Hey, you going to the concession stand. You going to the bathroom. Come back. The show's about to start.
Got my boys. We out here ready. We about to be some high-flying, high-slamming, slammer-jammer, three-point shooting between the legs, behind your back, through your legs, on your neck. Hey, everybody, if you guys are getting your seats, I'm going to sing the national anthem.
Ready.
It's honor. It's time to... I put it down the babies, put down the pepperoni.
Let's go!
5, 4, 3, 2, 1,
game time!
Hey, welcome to another Parents Club, the Parents Network Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, M.A. Scott. And as always, we're going to promise you another wonderful show, folks. Another wonderful show. You know, it's been a very interesting week, and a lot of things have happened, and we're off on celebrating this great King holiday. But guess what? There's some things that I need to share with you to make sure that that definitely you get the most out of what you're doing or what you're going to be doing with your children as you prepare for this upcoming school season and school year, and sports well underway, and everything else is into play. A few things I needed to highlight. First and foremost, had a chance to talk with some parents this evening, and those parents was parents of a booster club at a high school by the name of Riverbend High. And Riverbend High is in the Virginia area. And it's a very active school. It has quite a few sports and quite a few students. If I'm not mistaken, in talking with the one of the young ladies that's part of the Booster Club, she believes she's under the impression that it's probably about somewhere between 2,000 to 2,500 students in that school. And with that number, with those numbers, you figure that, you know, being an active booster club, you have a great and huge turnout each and every time. But for whatever reason, as much as they tried to get the information out to our kids and to our parents, fellow parents, and things of that nature, the turnout, it was okay. It was okay. It wasn't no record breaking situation, but it was okay. You know, I'm on and I'm rattling and talking about some stuff, and hopefully I'll get a chance to get my man Mr. Keith Wright in here, and a little piece that he does each and every time for us, which I have titled The College Experience, before we bring in our special guest, Mr. Everett Glenn. Let me see if I can pull Keith up here and we can go from there. Keith, where you at? Okay, I'm not sure exactly what's happening this evening. I see his spooling trying to find it. But it's not pulling up the song yet. Not pulling up a song here with my man Keith on here, so I'm going to hold off on that. And hopefully we can go straight to our guest and we'll get Keith in sometime soon. Not unless y'all want to hear me rap. Okay. I'm just kidding. But, you know, we've had this guest here on a number of times, and you know, it's always a pleasure for me to bring him back, because I think each and every time he brings something special to the table and give us a new perspective, new insight, and new light on things that's going on in this industry we call sports. You know, this industry that's bringing in hundreds of billions of dollars each year. I'm just going to hold on that part and see if we got our guest on, because I know he's hot and he's ready to bring something to the table there. So let's see if we got our man on, Mr. Everett Glenn. Everett, are you on the air with us? Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what's going on here, but I can't seem to get my guest on. Everett, are you on with us? Well, I may be experiencing some real technical difficulties there today, folks, and that's not a normal thing. But I'm going to try to pull out of the system here and then reboot it and see what we got there. So if you can hold on a second, I'm not going to go anywhere. I'm just going to try to log back in and see if we can go from there and get our guest on the line with us. Well, let's try this again. Okay. So far, so fair.
Mike?
Kevin, are you online?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Good to hear you, brother. Good to hear you.
Yeah.
Well, so,
how are you? How's everybody?
Everybody's good. Everybody's good on this end, sir. Well, I don't know if you heard the intro and whether or not technical difficulties got the best of me, but just coming from this high school up in the Fredericksburg area of Virginia, had a chance to speak with a group of parents, a part of the Booster Club. As always, you know, sharing some insights, some things I got from you, as well as some you know, some of the knowledge that and understanding and information that we have talked about over the years. So it was a very enlightening experience for those parents. Hopefully they all walked away with a little something, and I'm quite sure a few of them may even be listening to the show this evening. Hopefully they'll call in and may even have some questions. If anyone want to call in and join in on the conversation, you can always join us at 917-889-8095. I'll say that number again, 917-889-8095. Well, Everett, I know you had a recent piece again with the Huffington Post. What you got for us this week?
It's interesting. I was on the line when you were talking. You couldn't hear me, but I heard you talk about, I guess, tomorrow we celebrate Martin Luther King's birthday. And so it's appropriate to look back at some of the things that he has said in his lifetime. And a couple things that he said that stick with me. One is that Martin Luther King said that our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter. Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter. And what the whole purpose of your show and your effort is because our kids matter to you. He also said that if we haven't discovered something that we would die for, then we are not fit to live. If we haven't discovered something we would die for, then we aren't fit to live. I was riding in the church this morning, and I came up with these two things that he said because they connected to what I heard on the way to church this morning. I heard a preacher say, he asked the question whether we really wanted to win or do we just want to look good losing.
Okay.
Do we want to win or do we want to just look good losing? And he proceeded to talk about, you know, these things that that we have individually, this individual success that we might experience, this individual success that our children or the children of the folk on the land might be having. Or can we come together, because despite the individual success that we experience, we're still at the bottom of every good thing.
Mm-hmm.
From home ownership to college graduation, you know, to income, and they were at the top of every bad list. So prison population, police killings, you know, out of wedlock children, you know, so forth and so on. And so everything that we're doing, this whole movement that we got, is because we have identified something that matters. And so we can't be silent. Our kids matter, so we can't be silent. And we're willing to die for our kids because they are our future. I just found that I know a lot of the parents probably, so I know since you played, since Mike plays basketball, and this thing started out with the genesis of it was, you know, your visits to the top 100 camp that the NBA sponsors. So I know a lot of folks are basketball parents, perhaps. And so I'd like to open it up if there's anybody that has questions. But before we get there, I just want to make an observation because I'm writing a piece. My next Huffington Post piece is entitled Guilty Until Proven Innocent. Guilty Until Proven Innocent. In American jurisprudence, most of us are familiar with the idea that we're innocent until we're proven guilty. But when it comes to the NCAA and the processes and procedures that they have, our children are guilty until proven innocent. And in the spirit of Martin Luther King, who says that our lives begin to end the day we become silent, I'm just still trying to figure out every day why we don't say anything, why we don't come together and challenge what's happening to our kids. And what happened to prompt this piece that I'm writing for Huffington Post now is a situation that I went through with a kid who is one of the top Division I basketball recruits in the country. He's a one-and-done kid. He led his high school team to back-to-back state championships. Over his junior and senior year, the team was 60-1. And this process that the folk on the phone, this eligibility center, where in the ninth grade, I guess you start providing the NCAA with information about your playing career, about your academics. We're putting together a video that we want to share with parents, coaching parents, and the folk who are listening, because we have to be careful how we answer these questions and the information that we give the NCAA, because under their rules, they take the information that we provide them with from the times our kids are in the ninth grade to make decisions about their eligibility.
Okay.
And they connect. You know, Mike, you've heard me, and you know, and George Frazier is known for saying connecting the dots, right? But
that's
when
correct.
We talk about connecting the dots, we're talking about, you know, networking and you know, and meeting people and developing relationships with them and then coming together to try to make something positive happen. But the NCAA, when they connect the dots, they look at these relationships. For example, your AAU coach. Again, the only relationship you might have with that AAU coach is that your son or daughter plays for that person.
Mm-hmm.
But when they make determinations about eligibility, they're looking to see who the AAU coach knows and who the AAU coach is connected to. And then who those people that the AAU coach knows, who they're connected to and who they know. And before you know it, families are having to disprove things that don't even exist.
Wow.
Simply because of relationships between coaches and third parties. You might not even know the third party. So in this case, the AAU coach, now, and the kid only played, I think, three games with this AAU coach. But when they went online and, you know, and they was letting the NCAA know about what they were doing, they put on there that, and he was actually one of a number, most of these AAU coaches have a number of coaches, right? The AAU teams, rather?
Yeah, yeah.
And so there's not just one coach. There might be two or three coaches, right?
Yeah.
And so they put down the name of the coach that they remembered. It wasn't like he was the he was the coach they were closest to or anything. It was just the coach whose name they could remember. That was in the ninth grade. Okay, so come to the 12th grade and they're making a decision about this kid's eligibility. They look at that coach that he put down in the ninth grade, and then they looked and saw, okay, well, that coach knows this guy at this college. Now,
mm-hmm.
In the ninth grade, when he put that coach, that AAU coach down, the person that the AAU was, coach was connected to, he wasn't even at this college. Okay? But now, 4 years later, this coach that the AAU coach is connected to is at USC. And so now they're connecting the kid to USC. When the kid don't have no connection to USC, he don't have no connection to the coach at USC, but he's connected to the AAU coach who knows the coach at USC.
Wow.
And they have a problem with the coach at USC, not with the kid. But it becomes the kid's problem because now they're asking questions about the relationship. And again, and now, and they don't just make these determinations based upon information that you provide them with, which is what most everybody on this telephone call probably thinks, is that they make determinations about academic eligibility from the test scores and grades that you put up on the system. And the fact that you've taken the core courses and all that kind of stuff, and they do that for academics. But when it comes to amateur eligibility, the rules specifically says that they can consider your answers to the questions, but they can also consider information outside of the process. Outside of the process. Now, that means information available through any source that exists on this planet. And with the age of social media and Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, you know, we get stuff that's happening, kids posting stuff, you know, innocently in the ninth grade and innocently in the 10th grade and innocently in the 11th or the 12th grade, and not even what the kid is posting. In this case, there was a gentleman who happened to be a former professional athlete. And somebody wrote an article, and they identified this former professional athlete as a booster, since you were talking about boosters, right? They identified this former professional athlete as a booster of this particular high school program. Now, the guy is not a booster of this program. The guy had no knowledge that there was even an article out there that identified him as a booster. And he had no way to stop the people. They didn't ask him for consent to use his name as a booster. In fact, the people that wrote the article didn't even have anything to do with the school that they said he was a booster of. There was a game going on, and this former professional athlete merely contributed some money to help the sponsors of the game pull the game off. He had no connection with the school. He's not involved in high school sports at all. He was just trying to do the right thing, help.
Yeah, exactly.
Knowledge. Nobody had no knowledge, but the NCAA, they did a Google search, apparently, and they typed, so for the folk on this phone, for example, they could put your son's or your daughter's name into Google, and if somebody has mentioned him, somebody then said something about him, somebody then mentioned somebody that you are connected to, like your AAU coach, the possibilities are endless when the NCAA has a right. Now, no place else in America, no system in America provides that you can be responsible for stuff that other people say or do, except the NCAA. And we're silent about it. And so if what Martin Luther King said is true, then there's people whose lives are beginning to end because they're being silent. Now, the only saving grace, perhaps, is that we don't know, but this conversation and conversations that Mike has and every place he goes, he's shedding light on things. And even after people have the light revealed to them, we still are not doing anything about it. And again, there is no place else in America. No, you can't go to court tomorrow and be convicted based on something that somebody else did or said. You can't even be asked to answer for something somebody else did or said. But you can with the NCAA. You can be asked to answer questions about things, and they don't even have to tell you. Now, not only in this country, in our system of jurisprudence, are we all considered innocent until proven guilty, but a related concept in the law to protect and preserve our constitutional freedoms is a concept called the burden of proof. Okay, now, what that means is if I'm brought into the judicial system, the police have the burden of proving that I did whatever it is they said I did. That's why you may have heard in criminal cases, that's why you see in criminal cases, the defendant rarely takes the stand because the state has the burden of proof and they have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that you committed the crime. And so at the end of the testimony, the defense lawyer, if he doesn't think the state has met the burden of proof, he doesn't even have to present a defense, because they have the burden of proof. And if they don't meet the burden of proof, it's a wrap. The case is over. It's dismissed. You found innocent. Every place in America, except the NCAA, where the student-athlete has the burden of proof, and the student-athlete has the burden of proof of proving that he is innocent and that these relationships don't mean what the NCAA thinks they might mean. And beyond that, when there is a burden of proof, like again, in a criminal case, the standard is beyond a reasonable doubt. Now, they've got two other standards of the burden of proof in civil cases. One is clear and convincing evidence. And the other one, and that's a little bit less than beyond a reasonable doubt, clear and convincing. Then the next level beyond clear and convincing is a preponderance of the evidence. Okay, so depending on what kind of case you're dealing with, as the person on the other side of this, I know that the people who are coming at me either got to prove their case by beyond a reasonable doubt, by clear and convincing evidence, or by preponderance of the evidence. The NCAA, they don't have any of these standards. And they, as a result, they are able to be arbitrary and capricious. They make decisions that fit their needs, where the burden of proof is on the defendant and not the state, is the NCAA. The only institution where there is no standard of proof that is recognizable is the NCAA. And finally, the Constitution of this country gives each one of us the right to confront our accusers. And when they say you have a right to confront your accuser, that means if they have somebody who said that you did something, then they have to come to court to say that. And they then have to be subjected to cross-examination by your lawyer. That's the opportunity to confront them. And by confronting them, you know, you can smoke out the truth, right? That exists in every aspect of our system of jurisprudence except the NCAA. You not only do you not have a right to confront your accuser at the NCAA level, they don't even tell you who the accuser is. It's unbelievable. Now, we have heard a lot of noise about paying players and the right for players to not have their name and likeness used without compensation. And as a result of that noise, the colleges and universities that comprise the six major conferences, the Big East, the ACC, the SEC, the Big Ten, the Big 12, and the Pac-12, not all of them, although all of them are moving in that direction, it won't be long, and may already have already done it, they're coming up with this four-year guaranteed scholarship now instead of the year-to-year scholarship. And then some of them are also providing a stipend over and above what it costs for tuition, room, and board. And those things are wonderful. But there's a more basic problem. The whole system is flawed if they come after you and you have the burden of proof and there is no standard of proof and you don't have a right to confront your accuser. Those are basic tenets of freedom in this country. And so while we're letting people direct the conversation to whether the kids should be paid, and in my opinion, I mean, they deserve, when you consider the money, but really the pay is not the issue. If you give a kid a $200,000 scholarship, the value of a scholarship for 4 years or whatever, and you make sure he get a degree, then on one level you have paid him. But if you are graduating 30 or 40% of your athletes, And if you're making them spend 40 or 50 hours a week practicing, then you're shortchanging them on what you are representing to the public is the quid pro quo or the exchange. I'll come and play for you and you give me a scholarship. So the system is broken at its core if you don't have these constitutional protections. I mean, if we didn't have these constitutional protections in our society, then the people who are on this telephone, the police could pick you up while you're on the telephone and take you straight to jail, take you, and not tell you why they're taking you to jail, bring you to court, and offer as proof you did something what somebody told them without telling you who it was that told them or what they told you, what they told them, and then convict you. And so I'm asking the people on the phone, how do you feel about the fact that you're preparing your sons, and maybe some of your sons and daughters are already in this system? How do you feel knowing that if you ever have an issue with the NCAA, the cards are stacked totally against you?
Well, that is truly a loaded question there, brother. Truly a loaded question. And we're gonna get to that question and open up the phone lines and see how many folks want to chime in on that conversation. They can always give us a call at 917-889-8095. 917-889-8095. Hey, before we come back and go to that question, I want to ask you a quick question. Did you get a chance to see the three representatives of the three major sports on television this morning? DeMarcus, and the other two from Major League Baseball and the NBA. I think the last
I didn't
name,
know. What were they on?
It was on the show called Outside the Lines.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I didn't see it. I'm familiar with the show, but I didn't see it. No, I was at church probably.
Yeah, this was, well, it came on here on Easter, come around about 8:30 here on the East Coast. So, I'm not sure what time they come on out that way. But they had some pretty great things to say, and it was all a reflection on Dr. King, since you started out with a conversation about Dr. King and his thoughts towards where they have, you know, where they have come from and where they're at now. And they made it perfectly clear that just because they're holding those seats, oh, there's no question in anyone's mind, the minute that they step into the room, someone may have that first perception that they are African-American. And then
okay, because the head of the NBA union is a black woman. The head of the NFL union is a black man.
Yes.
Okay, yeah,
and,
okay, yeah.
And Major League Baseball.
But the head of Major League Baseball is not black.
Baseball. Yes, he is.
Was that Wendy Lewis?
Oh, no. There was a brother sitting on there this morning. I forgot what his name was. But he was on this morning with Outside the Lines.
Jimmy Lee Solomon?
He's in an interim spot until they actually appoint someone.
Oh, okay. I know Jimmy Lee Solomon was higher up in Major League, but he was actually with Major League Baseball. He wasn't with the Major League Baseball Union, so I don't know who that was. But yeah, that's so you would think if we got black folk in them positions, but they don't have the support of the people who want them to do things, and so they're constrained even in the exercise of their power, first because they represent the membership.
Yeah.
That is, they just represent pro players. They don't represent college players. They don't have no concern about college players. Their membership is who they protect and whose interests they try to preserve. And because we've had conversation with the NCAA about helping kids before they get to college be more prepared for college, and the NCAA's mm-hmm. response is, we only deal with college kids.
Okay.
And so even though you know they're coming, they're going to wait till they get there and then deal with the lack of preparedness or whatever that they have to deal with that would lead to situations that happen like in North Carolina where they've been committing academic fraud for 20 years and then they discover it and then the coaches, Roy Williams, and he says he didn't know about none of this stuff.
And, you know, it's interesting that you say that, you know, and I recall when I sat down with coaches and they did their interview and, you know, sat down at the school or in the house, you know, that's the first thing they talk about is how they monitor the kids'
that's
classes.
Right. That's right.
You know,
that's
and
right.
How they
not only
go
that.
Out. Exactly, you know, and how they go out and he got one coach. You know, I've actually heard several different coaches sit down and talk to myself and my son and say that, man, let us know, hey, we got several, you know, we got a coach that goes out every morning peeking in classrooms to make sure that so-and-so is in class.
Yep.
But then
you
turn around and have somebody get on national television and say he's not aware of it.
Well, and not only that, but as you said, each one of these coaches, they do have somebody on their staff who's responsible for academics of the kids. And under the NCAA rules, the head coach is responsible for everybody underneath him.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, again, in corporate America and you know, in every place else, the CEO, so like they have the oil spill in the Gulf, and the CEO of Exxon has got an answer for that. Okay, but he wasn't out there pumping nothing. He wasn't out there working no equipment or nothing, but he got an answer because he's in charge. But in college sports, Roy Williams can say, no, nothing. Even though he got a member on his staff responsible for it, knows that these are paper classes, they call them, but he can be absolved by North Carolina. And then North Carolina can fire the black man who was the professor in the program. They fire him and actually threaten to indict him if he didn't cooperate and accept the firing. And Roy Williams has got a raise.
They say he's just got a raise.
Yeah, he get a raise. they get paid based on how far they go in the tournaments and if they win, you know, games, championships, and progress toward graduation. He got all these bonuses in his contract. Yeah, so he benefited from the same fraud with a bonus. And so the question
wow.
is, do we have to give any of that money back? When they found out now 20 years they've been committing fraud, and so they wasn't progressing towards graduation like you thought, is anybody asking for any of that money back?
No, ain't nobody asking for that money back. Not at all.
If we demanded the parents of the kids who went there and had this fraud committed on them, have we demanded? Again, Martin Luther King says if we want to celebrate his lifetime and his legacy, then we need to act on some of the things that he said. And he said, you know, that our lives begin to end the day we remain silent about stuff that's important. And the education of our kids is important. And we're remaining silent despite what they're telling us that they're doing to our kids.
So true, so true.
All right, brother, we're going to step away for a second, and hopefully we'll have some callers chime in on that question that you posed to them. Are we really concerned about NCAA and how far will we let them go to hold us hostage? We'll be right back. We'll come back, and you can give us a call at 917-889-8095. Let's see if we can get my man, Mr. Keith, right to play at Peace Force. Well, it don't seem like we're going to be so lucky today to get our audio track up. Everett, are you still there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I don't know what's going on today with my audio track. It just don't want to play for me. But evidently, something must be going on with the network. But we're going to keep on moving. Hey, folks, a whole lot of information has been thrown at you this evening. We love to hear your thoughts, your comments, your part of the conversation. You know, because at the end of the day, it's all about you. You know, Everett has lived a very successful life. He has represented a great number of Hall of Famers and first-round draft pick all in the same year from different sports and, you know, has done some phenomenal things. And, you know, I've helped a young man move from playing at the middle school and rec league level all the way up to the life of a professional. And he's having a good time and doing some great things and simply enjoying himself. And we're just trying to share some of our information, our knowledge, our insight with the many of you out there, the hope that, you know, you can help guide your children into the same possible position, same possible outcome. Have them live their dream. Help us help you. You can all call in at 917-889-8095. We'd love to hear from you again. Ever pose that question to them one more time. Let's see what these folks really and truly thinking about it. And if they're serious about doing something for their children, then we'll hear some comments here in a minute.
Well, you summarized it or paraphrased it perfectly. If I can remember what I said, it's basically that our kids are subject to a system that denies them the basic constitutional protections that we even afford terrorists in this country. That is innocent they could blow up a building and 100 people could be killed, but they're presumed innocent until proven guilty. But our student athletes are presumed guilty until they're proven innocent. The same terrorist who blows up the building, the state has to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that he's guilty. Our children have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that they're innocent, but they're not even a standard that is in writing that says what is the burden that they have to meet to prove their innocence. Whereas again, the terrorist knows the burden he's got to meet, and the terrorist will have the right to confront and cross-examine those people who accuse him, but the NCAA can rely upon posts somebody might put up on Facebook to convict your son or daughter. And until we say something about that, they're going to keep on doing that. So the question is, what are you prepared to do to ensure that your children are treated at least as well as terrorists in their dealings with the NCAA?
You know, that's interesting and very well put. Folks, we'd love to hear your thoughts on that this evening. I know I have a number of folks that have sent me text messages and sent me messages on Facebook saying that they're on, they're listening, they're chimed in on the link. You can always, if you're listening via the link that's out there, you can always call in at 917-889-8095. I'll say that number again, 917-889-8095. Love to hear from you. Love to see what your thoughts are on the question that Everett just posed to us. I'm going to tell you where I'm going to start out at. You know, I would love to see parents stand up for their children's rights. You know, because the NCAA, as he said, if you're going into court, you have to have that burden of proof. But it seems as though the NCAA is trying to operate under the law of reasonable suspicion. They ain't even waiting for the burden of proof. If they suspect that this has happened based upon some hearsay, whether or not it's something they read on Facebook or whether or not they connected this coach to this particular team or whatever, they're operating under those premises that they can say and do as they please. And we as parents, if we don't understand it, have placed our children in a very bad situation. You know, very bad situation. You know, you look at the stuff that Cam Newton went through a few years ago and how he was being scrutinized just as it was time for him, I think, to enter the draft. You know, that whole situation. Is that your phone there, brothers?
No, I just told him I'd call him back, yeah.
Okay. But, you know, if you look at that situation that Cam Newton just went through, you know, that's a situation that probably could have been avoided. You know, I've heard several times where, you know, Everett addressed the issue of Reggie Bush and how that whole thing unfolded and that whole conversation. But, again, I go back to say we as parents need to step up and have something to say. We as parents collectively, need to have a voice at the NCAA. Somewhere where we are able to call directly in, send our petitions in, you know, whatever we need to do as a collective group and make sure that the NCAA understands and knows that, no, we're not going to stand for that. You're not going to accuse this young man of these dealings or these doings without any form of evidence based upon speculation. That's not happening. That's not a fair thing to do. That's not giving him any opportunity to even have a fair hearing or, you know, in some cases, not even given an opportunity to participate and play at the next level. That's the only thing he's trying to do. You know, so we as parents must have a voice in that process. It's not an optional thing. The NCAA maybe should consider creating a parent council of some sort, and I'm not meaning some hand-picked group of folks that's going to be puppets. I mean somebody that's going to push back against what's going on with them, and at the same time, somebody able to explain the process or what's happening at this time and actually have a chance to sit down and talk to the parents and work with parents through the various situations. So give us a call this evening, folks, at 917-889-8095. We love to hear from you. You know, if you are hesitant and intimidated and don't want to speak up, or you think Big Brother's watching or listening, hey, you don't have to say your name. Just call in and share your thoughts. Share your thoughts. Share your thoughts. I know there's a number of you out there that's listening, because I've seen all these folks that popped up. We want to hear what you're going to talk about. We want to hear what you're going to talk about. And if you are really and truly interested in making this a better situation for your child, then you may have a voice in this conversation. You know, another show I do, I often talk and tell the parents it's time to speak up and speak out. If we're not prepared to speak up and speak out, then we're doing ourselves a disservice. Doing ourselves a disservice. Because there's too many things that's happening, and we're allowing it to happen based upon us as parents not speaking up and letting our voice being heard in the conversation. We're not bringing any substance to the table where folks understand and believe that they have to listen and hear our voice in this conversation. That's one of the greatest things that Dr. King was able to do, was able to bring his conversation to the table. No matter what table he went to, he brought that conversation to the table. And he looked for fair and equal and just treatment of all. And that's what we're looking for as it pertains to our young men and women in this big, huge industry called sports. What else you got for a brother? It looks like folks are scared to speak up this evening. You know, they'll sit back and
talk. I leave you with this thought. It's related, right? We just had this national championship game in football, right?
Mm-hmm.
They added another game to the season. They didn't call any parents and ask them if it would be all right to add another game to the season. They didn't call none of the kids and ask them if it'd be all right to add another game to the season. Now, when the NFL tried to add a game to the NFL season, because the professional players have a union that protects their interest, the players said no. And the reason they said no is that they commissioned a study and determined just one more game would shorten the average career of an NFL player to less than 3 years.
Wow.
Just adding one more game. Because we're talking about another week at practice, right? And another week of hitting, and another week of live tackling during this game. Okay, so they discovered that injuries had risen 70% in the past decade. And so they said no to another game at the professional level. At the college level, the NCAA, they didn't ask nobody nothing except the conference commissioners and the coaches. And
exactly.
And they all said yes, right? Because the game, they signed a $7.3 billion TV contract with ESPN to show this one game. And the coaches, the two coaches who coached that game, they had a combined salary of $6.5 million, and the bonuses they got for playing in that game equaled one third of that $6.5 million. So everybody who had a financial interest in the game made sure that the game took place, but the kids who have to play the game, who have to miss school another week, and all this other kind of stuff, they didn't have a say in it at all. And the parents, you know, they did give them a little stipend, $1,500, so the kid could bring his parents to the game. But there was guys who got hurt in that game.
Exactly.
Just as you could predict. Yes, there was guys got hurt in that game, as you could predict. And so the kids don't have a voice, and you know, I believe we as grown-ups, we have failed our kids in a number of ways. You know, we've made life easy for them. We had hard lives, harder than they have, and we thought it was our job to make life easier for them, but what's happened is we don't speak up for them, and they don't really know how to navigate this stuff. They ain't old enough. They haven't had enough experience. They just are not prepared to do it, and they're not looking to us because we haven't said anything, but they should be able to look to us. So the parents of them two teams that was over 80% black, with Ohio State had a 38% graduation rate, Oregon has got a 54% graduation rate. So they're not graduating the kids. They're exposing them to another game, which is exposing them to more injury, all so they could make money, that they don't share with the kids, they don't share with the community that they come from. They just chop it up amongst themselves. I mean, those six conferences, they got $50 million apiece out of this deal.
How much was that again?
$50
million. Okay.
So what is it going to take for us to stand up when Ray Rice hit his fiance, and it was on TV, the elevator scene, the National Organization of Women, they don't have nothing to do with sports. But they jumped on that opportunity, and before you knew it, the NFL was writing a $5 million check to them to be quiet. So we talking about all of our kids. I mean, we're involved in it. The National Association of Women, they don't have nothing to do with sports, but they jumped on a situation in sports and got help to do what they do. I'm not mad at them for doing it. My question is simply, why don't we do stuff like that?
Exactly.
Why don't we come and say, okay, if you're going to play another game, then you got to give some of this $7.3 billion to some fund. And so when these kids have the effects of concussions manifested, you know, 10 years from now, they're not left on their own.
Yeah.
If they get hurt or whatever, we just don't say nothing. So we can't blame nobody for our situation because, you know, we afraid to talk up, and Martin Luther King said we already dead if we don't stand up and talk up.
That is so true, sir. So true.
And so people probably didn't know that that's what happened in that game, that they extended the game. I mean, they extended the football season by a year in college. Okay, that's going to reduce the lifespan of some of them kids. It's going to be reduced by the fact they just played one more game.
And believe it or not, there is conversation out there now talking about adding more games. They want to do
basketball games. That's what they're going to do to college basketball. Yeah, they're going to extend it. In fact, the NCAA had that money that went to the football programs. The NCAA doesn't share in football money. Okay, because the football teams, they revolted years ago. Texas and Oklahoma led that revolt.
Yeah, I remember.
And they said we're not sharing our money with no Division II school from, you know, someplace in the woods or whatever. We only sharing this money with folk help us make it. So football money doesn't go through the NCAA. The NCAA's money all comes from basketball, and 90% of that comes from March Madness. And so pretty soon they're going to have to look for other sources of revenue, and the only real source is extending, adding games, and they're going to do it without, you know, asking us for our permission to do so, and we're going to eagerly give them our kids to do it, and not ask for anything in return, and we should. But we actually soon you're going to hear about a coalition that's being formed. So far, it involves the National Urban League and the National Association of Minority Contractors and the U.S. Black Chamber, the Association of Black Psychologists, the Association of Black Engineers. We'll be talking to the president of the Sigmas here shortly, and we hope to get the Sigmas on board and then have that person take us to the other members of the Pan-Hellenic Conference. That would be the Omegas and the Alphas and the Deltas. And we're going to speak up for our children. We're going to speak up for our community. And either you're going to be with us or against us, because we're going to speak up. Because, you know, and it says in the Bible that there's a the disciples asked Jesus in 1 Corinthians, he talks in parables and he teaches in parables. And so they ask three questions. Who wages war at his own expense? Who wages war at his own expense? That would be like who would go and take their credit card and go to Sports Chalet and buy guns and ammunition and a ticket to Afghanistan and ask where the war is?
Yeah.
Nobody, right? Who wages war at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not drink from the vineyard? Who tends to the flock but does not eat from the flock? And Christ answered back, do not muzzle an ox while it's treading out the corn. And the disciples said, well, are you just concerned about the ox? What about us? You know, because back in the day, maybe some of you have seen it. If you're not, you can Google it. They used to have this contraption on the ox, and the ox would be walking around in a circle around a barrel.
Yeah.
And this thing that would be connected to the ox and the barrel would be separating the corn from the shaft. Okay, and they would put a muzzle on the ox because they didn't even want the ox to eat the corn that didn't fall into the barrel but fell on the ground. And so God said, don't muzzle an ox while he's treading out the corn. And the moral of the story is the ox was doing all the work. Mm-hmm. And so how can he not eat if he's doing all the work? Don't put a muzzle on him. And he closed it with, because whoever is doing the work, whoever's doing the plowing and the threshing should be able to do so in the hope. Now, hope, according to God's word, never fails. They should be able to do so with the hope of sharing in the harvest. Okay, so they just played a game that they got $7.3 billion from, and our kids are doing the work, but we're not sharing in the harvest. So we're not even... For those of us who claim to be believers, we're not even acting on the word of God. What is it going to take? Who has to say it? You don't have to do it because I'm saying it. God said it.
So true. All right, brother, we're going to prepare to wind down here. And we thank you for, again, another hour of enlightenment. And it's always
I just appreciate the opportunity, man, because hopefully somebody heard and somebody will reach out. They can reach out to me at EGLENN at ESP as in Paul, ELI.org. EGLENN at ESPELI.org. If you want to be part of the solution to the problem.
All right. We've been talking with Attorney Everett Glenn, and he has always brought the heat, brought the enlightenment, and brought the all in the same conversation. All in the same conversation. Hey, brother, we enjoy having you on.
I appreciate being able to share, you know. That's what we got to do, because if we don't know better, we can't do better.
Exactly. Make sure you share that link with us on that next piece that you're coming out with from the Huffington Post.
I will.
All right, sir. Thanks again.
Okay, man. Thanks so much. Okay. Talk to you.
All right. We'll talk.
Peace.
All right. Well, folks, it's been another great show. I was hoping to have some conversation and some dialogue this evening, but it seems as though the cat must have our tongue, or something got our tongue, because we were kind of choked up and speaking up and speaking out. We got to be able to do that, folks. We have to be able to do this. It's not an optional thing. It's a thing of the must, something that we have to be able to do in order for our children to enjoy and get the best out of every situation, especially when we're dealing with this situation called the industry of sports. This has been M.A. Scott, the host of Your Parents, Coaching Parents Network, here on Blog Talk Radio. And until this time, next week, be out of here. Hope you have a fun week, great week, a real week. And above all, we will definitely see you. I ain't going to say see you when we see you. We're going to see you. We're looking forward to seeing you. Have a great week. Good night. What your brother-in-law had to send me, what he had to say. I tried to push one to speak, but nothing happened. Man, you wouldn't even dialed in. I don't even think like you even dialed in, Gerard.
I must have been dialed in if he knew you were on.
No, he could have been listening to the link.
Oh, maybe he thought he could get
there from
the link.
Yeah.
If they don't call me, they can't.
If they don't call in, I don't see them here on the switchboard, so I don't see that they're trying to call in. Yeah. That's why I said the dollar number 917-889-8095 for option one.
You call me.
Okay, so yeah. That's all right. If it was that interesting, then you'll come back again next week. Unless it's on Facebook. I'm dialed in. I'm hearing everything you're saying. You're speaking. Huh? You're speaking to some females now. I don't know what show you're listening to.
Yeah,
well, the link I gave him.
What was the link you gave him?
I gave him the link let's see, let me hit this link. Let's see where it takes me. Okay, I just pressed on the link that I just sent him. I called the number you gave me. I push one. I push one several times. Not sure what happened. Thanks. We're on every Sunday night at 9:30 p.m. I still hear your conversation.